it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to Noon.
It's John Kuhn and Touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Holy six-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback, John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to Noon on The Fan.
Third and final hour of 9 to Noon, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I am Rami Makhlouf, alongside the three-time Pro Bowler, former Packers fullback John Kuhn. Brandon Schneid on the other side of the glass. Coming up later this hour, we will revisit yesterday's 9 to Noon poll, the Nooner poll, as we call it. You can vote on today's Nooner poll right now at 9 to Noon on Twitter. Would you extend Matt LaFleur's contract today? If given the choice, go and vote at 9 to Noon on Twitter. But joining us now on the Fan guest line, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. He is our Milwaukee baseball insider, covers those Brewers for Forbes Sports. Pleasure to welcome in Andrew Wagner. Wags, how are you this morning, my man?
Listen, if the Packers need a new coach, I will be generous and gladly offer up to the services of Zach Taylor. I will gift wrap him.
I think that's one guy who's probably getting a little bit more heat than Matt LaFleur is right now. Wags, we had a first game of the wild card series yesterday all around Major League Baseball. Did you find yourself watching those games and thinking about the Brewers in any way, shape, or form as to something that could work to their favor, something that might work against them? And watching potential opponents in that first round of games yesterday?
Honestly, no. I mean, we were at the ballpark pretty early yesterday. So, you know, missed the Detroit-Cleveland game because we were, you know, having clubhouse and Murph availability.
Yeah.
While the Brewers were doing their workout, they had the Cubs-Padres game on the scoreboard during the workout, which – it's kind of funny because, of course, we point that out on Twitter and all the Cubs fans jump in the mentions, oh, living rent-free. It's like, dude, it's called scouting your opponent. I realize your manager doesn't believe in that, but yeah. So this is nothing out of the ordinary. By the time I got done and got home, the Reds and Dodgers game was going on, and I turned it on, and I think within an inning, I was just out cold on the couch. So I'll probably get some more today because we don't have media access today and I can actually sit back and watch it. But from all accounts, that Cubs-Padres game was pretty tight, which you expect. If the Cubs lock it up tonight, then it's lockdown mode for the Brewers. You know what's going on. You know who you're playing. Get to work.
Wags, is it more of an advantage to have extra time to know who you're playing or to have this series go to three games?
Because of who the teams are, I don't think it makes a big deal. You played the Padres last week, so you know what they're going to do. You played the Cubs 13 times. There is nothing. I talked about this with Mace. You know, in football, you can add in wrinkles to the playbook during the week that teams haven't scouted. And you can kind of catch them off guard with a different formation or something like that. Baseball, you're playing every day. You play these guys a ton of times. The Cubs know what the Brewers do. The Brewers know what the Cubs do. They know each other's pitchers. They know each other's hitters inside and out. It's going to just come down to execution. And the time off in that situation, I don't think it really matters very much.
I know Pat Murphy said yesterday morning that we would get an update on Brandon Woodruff later in the day. I kept refreshing Twitter. I kept checking your Twitter @byAndrewWagner, your fellow beat writers. I kept on checking their Twitter. I didn't see anything. We didn't get an update on Brandon Woodruff at all yesterday, did we?
Yeah, we were informed by sources that there wasn't going to be one because there isn't one. So not really sure what Murph was talking about there. And honestly, not really sure what's going on. I'm under the assumption that Brandon Woodruff is not going to pitch in this postseason. It's just the way that it seemed when we talked to him in St. Louis.
For the entirety of the postseason, you're saying?
I don't think so. Wow. I mean, if he's got a lat issue coming off shoulder surgery, you could put two and two together. You know, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, something that's been reminded to me in the past, but it just doesn't seem like it would make a lot of sense it just doesn't seem like it would be possible. Something could change, maybe. But I don't understand why we've heard multiple times, oh, we'll have an update soon, we'll have an announcement soon, and then nothing. To me, it seems like the announcement came in St. Louis on Sunday morning, and the Brewers are just preparing to go into the playoffs without him. It doesn't seem likely to me that he'd be able to pitch.
Wags, I kind of took it the same way. I you know, just reading the tea leaves, I had the same impression that you did, which makes me look at last night's baseball games and realize, goodness gracious, having that ace, having that guy you can depend on is the most important thing when you reach October. We love Freddy Peralta, but how's the rest of the starting pitching for the Brewers stack up in a 5-game series, or how confident are you?
Well, the way that it's looking, it looks like it'll be Freddie in game one, probably Quinn in game two, and Quintana in game three. And no surprise there. Again, nothing's been announced, but that's the way it stacks up and the way it seems to line up in terms of dates and the way guys have pitched. I'm confident in it. And here's the thing. One of the things that Tommy and I harp on the leadoff show every single day when Freddie pitches is the need for him to go deep and rest that bullpen. Working in the Brewers' favor in this situation is the schedule. You're coming in with a week off, so your bullpen is fully rested. And in some weird quirk, because once again, baseball can never get it right, there's an off day after game one, mm-hmm. and then another off day after game two. So you're going to have a fully rested bullpen at your disposal in game one and a day off to rest them before game two. So you're going to be able to be more aggressive with your bullpen in that opening game. And I think that's important because, listen, we know Freddie gets into trouble. Freddie throws a ton of pitches, and Freddie is often out of there after five. I think that takes some of the pressure off of him and takes some of the pressure off the Brewers, being able to utilize your bullpen more. But I think the Brewers pitching stacks up pretty well in a short series. We haven't seen the best out of Quintana, but again, you're going to have a full crop of relievers at your disposal to take care of things.
That being said, Wags, I'm talking with Andrew Wagner, a Milwaukee baseball insider of Forbes Sports here on 9 to noon. That being said, you said it's hard to surprise an opponent at this point, especially when you have two teams that have played each other as much as the Cubs and the Brewers have. We saw Craig Counsell yesterday go to his bullpen very early. Matthew Boyd had pitched just 59 pitches. Today he's going with the opener with Andrew Kittredge. Could you see Pat Murphy doing something like that with going with an opener for one of these games, or do you think we're gonna have a traditional starting rotation for the postseason?
He's cautious about how he does it. It depends on what the makeup of the other team is. If the Cubs are stacking a bunch of left.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's early on. Maybe he will, but I don't see them doing that against Priester. They have had success combining D.L. Hall with Quinn Priester in that opener role. I don't see that being a thing, at least in the NLDS. I just don't see it making a lot of sense. The Cubs don't really have that kind of lineup. Maybe in the later rounds, depending on who you're playing, you might see that maybe with Mizorowski. You know, that would be a way to get him some work. Maybe pairing him with Robert Gasser, as we saw the other day. That could be one way that they do it when they have to expand a little bit more. But early on in that first round series, I just don't see it being a necessity.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to dismiss the Padres here as we continue to talk about the Cubs and the dynamic it would be with the Brewers matching up against them. But I am interested, you know, this game comes rolling around here very quickly, game one. What is the emotion? What's the feeling of Pat Murphy versus Craig Counsell in a playoff series? There's got to be some sort of, and I don't want to call it bad blood, but there's got to be some sort of, man, I really have to get this guy.
I mean, Murph and Counsell are still friends. You know, they still are in regular contact, more so in the post, in the off season than they are in the regular season. I think the emotions are probably going to come more from the fans and maybe a little bit from the players. They've played each other now 26 times. They know what the feelings are on each side. I think the emotion is more of internally, we want to win. We need to win. We need to win a playoff series. That's the next opponent. Because if you start focusing on you have to beat the Cubs, then I think you start to lose focus of the task at hand. And that's the whole win tonight philosophy, the whole survive and advance philosophy, keeping your eyes on what matters and what's important. I think that's where the emotions are. I think that's where the focus is. And I think that's where it should be.
That's very political of you there, Wags. That's good. You almost sounded like you read it right off the...
I am running for governor, so...
It sounded like you read it right off the Brewers' PR page, right? I mean, this is the playoffs now. This isn't the 25 regular season games that we played against each other or whatever. This is the playoffs, and you know what? You want to beat your friends probably more than your enemies sometimes when they come in here. I think that this might
you
have...
You do, but... You do, but you have to remember, like, this is the entire team ethos. And I asked Pat Murphy about this yesterday during our media availability. They have played under the ethos of win tonight and shutting out all the outside noise. Because let's face it, they're not the team of superstars. They're not the favorite. They're not any of those things. They have excelled because they have been able to shut everything off, take the field, and focus on the pitch, focus on the at-bat, focus on the inning, focus on that game. It's like I always say, like, you go in and you're thinking about, you should be able to sweep this team. Well, you can't win three until you win two, and you can't win two until you win one. If you start to focus on, I really want to beat the Cubs, then you start to lose focus on what you have to do to beat them. And that's what this team has been really, really good at, is focusing and channeling that energy on the task at hand and not worrying about the bigger picture.
Wags, give me one thing that makes you feel pretty good about the Brewers' chances once their postseason gets underway, and one thing that's maybe a point of concern about this Brewers team once their postseason gets underway.
I mean, the good thing is they won 96 games. The bad thing is they lost, 59 or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this team out. Because one day they go out there and they look like world beaters, and the next day they just go out there completely lifeless. I think for all the talk about the Brewers' lack of pop and slug and all that stuff, I think their offense is very good. I think their offense is very productive, and I think that they excel at the type of baseball that's played in the postseason. The thing that concerns me is what happens when they run up against a team that plays the similar style, that's very good on defense. You know, the Brewers are the team that feasts and capitalizes on mistakes and miscues and you know, hard contact, ground ball action, station to station. There are teams that play that similarly, maybe not to the extreme the Brewers do. The concern is what happens when they run up against a team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. It's a crapshoot. The baseball playoffs are a total crapshoot. sometimes it defies logic. I don't know where I stand on this. I think they have the capability and the ability to make it to the World Series. I really do. Same time, I could see them getting knocked out early by a team that's playing the same kind of baseball that they do.
Wags, looking at the rest of Major League Baseball and the playoffs that's going on right now, what's the most intriguing matchup of either the wild card or what could potentially happen in the division round?
I'm told, and I just found this out yesterday, that the Yankees and Red Sox are longtime historic rivals.
Really? So, what?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought it would be the Dodgers and the Phillies.
Right? Who knew? No, I really like this playoff field. I'm interested to see who comes out of the American League more than anything. The whole Royals, or not Royals, excuse me, the whole Guardians, Tigers situation in the AL Central was fascinating to me because, I mean, for all the talk that people had about the Brewers kind of, you know, letting off the gas down the stretch, look at what the Tigers did.
Yeah.
I mean, they barely won a game. The Guardians just roared back in. So they're playing with house money right now. I really like that series. I wanted to see Detroit all year long. I mean, they were one of the best teams in baseball all year long. That series is really intriguing to me. In the National League, I would kind of like to see, and it would be impossible till the NLCS. It would mean the Brewers get knocked out. You know, the Padres and Dodgers rivalry has been simmering for a while. But the most intriguing thing to me overall is the fact that there is no clear-cut favorite. There is no dominant team in this. You know, if there's one off the wall matchup that would really stick out is, could you imagine if it turns out being the Brewers and the Yankees in the World Series, considering how the season started with the Yankees just absolutely pummeling the Brewers, all the talk about the torpedo bats, and then the Brewers end up with the best record in baseball. That would be, if you had to pull out a storyline series, I think that would be one of them.
Do you feel like you have a pretty good handle on what the 26-man roster is going to look like, or are there some questions at the back end of it?
We were talking about this in the press box last night, and I know Stupid Kirk did his preview story and his projection. I have Stupid no clue. Kurt. He's been Stupid Kurt Hogan my phone since he was an intern back in 2015. He will stay that way in my phone. But I'm looking at them. They have a lot of tough decisions to make. They really do. And, you know, the big one is going to be, is Rhys Hoskins going to make the playoff roster? Is Jacob Mizorowski going to make the playoff roster? You know, they have a lot of good players, almost too many good players, which is a great problem to have. But there's going to be some tough decisions that come up, and there's going to be some names that are left off that people are going to go, what the hell is going on here? But that's just the way it goes sometimes. You put the best players out there that also give you the best matchups. And sometimes that means you might put someone on there that doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface, but when you peel back layers of the onion and realize that they have certain numbers against this pitcher or they excel against this type of pitching, you'll see you can be more creative that way when you're doing these round-to-round rosters.
That is Andrew Wagner. Find his work covering the Brewers at ForbesSports.com and every Wednesday at 11 o'clock right here on 9 to noon. Wags, really appreciate it, man. Looking forward to talking to you throughout the postseason.
Sounds good, boys. We'll talk next week.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.